What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the OC Lions Blog Podcast. I am your host, Gavin, here with our co-host, Daniel. How are you doing tonight, Daniel?
Doing good, Gavin. How are you doing?
Good. It's been a while since we talked. I think it was mid-January when we talked about the draft picks. Am I right about that?
Well, I actually talked to you yesterday, but yeah, I know what you're saying.
On the pod, yes. Daniel and I actually met up and went to the game yesterday, so that's why we have the ability to talk about it. Daniel actually treated me to the game, and I was really appreciative of that. And we also saw David together at the game, which was really nice. It was nice to find David Valentin. Really nice to see him in person, but... yeah, Daniel and I went. We watched the game together. We talked a lot about what we saw during the game, and now we're going to bring what we saw during the game to you guys. And that's kind of where I want to start. What did we see tactically that was different than last year? So that's kind of where I want to start our little discussion, Daniel. Can you give me the basic rundown of the tactics?
Yeah, the basic rundown was fluidity. Flexibility and and sort of some innovation that I felt we saw. It's weird because I was texting Eddie from the Orlando Lions Den today while I was at Magic Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And I came up with a wonderful idea. He brought to my attention that we played a 4-4-2 in defense, which I kind of saw it. I thought it was like a 4-4-1-1 or whatever. And then he made this lovely point that people think we can't do that because on FIFA you can't do it. And I was queuing up for it to smaller than I was thinking to myself, well, you know what? Anyone that compares FIFA to real life soccer again and uses it for basis of discussion should be subjected to 10 hours of It's a Small World.
Like you were tech.
Either that or they should be forced to rewatch the last game against Chicago again. Because in all seriousness, I thought Orlando yesterday looked extremely organized. Obviously, it's early days. It's pre-season. You don't want to read into anything too much. But I think the buzzword for Orlando is organization. And they had a clear game plan yesterday. We lined up with I would say it was a 4-2-3-1 to begin with. But the three midfielders behind the main striker had some very interesting roles. Pereira was on the right of the three, it seemed. He would tuck inside. Ruan had the entire right flank to buzz up and down on. And Michel seemed to start a little bit deeper so that he could maybe get onto the ball and run at the defender a little bit more. And Nani was just absolutely everywhere. He was picking up the ball from the defenders. He was drifting out to the left, drifting out to the right. For me, he was extremely impressive. He looked like if he's been off for 4 months, he's obviously benefited from it, but he looked match sharp already, like he could play tomorrow if we needed to. They did seem to have the flexibility. I think Eddie's point with the 4-4-2 was pretty solid. I saw Nani did push up quite a bit, and him and Dwyer were giving some options for the midfield to get the ball forward to, but also to prohibit the defenders from Montreal from getting forward a bit more. And we even seemed to go to a back three at times. It was actually really interesting to watch. It was, from my vantage point, it was a little bit more difficult to track the exact formation, but I still felt we just looked so organized, and that was really good to see.
Yeah, basically, if we were to look at it from the overall picture of the squad, it was a 4-2-3-1. You are absolutely correct in attack. And, well, sorry, the basic formation. In attack, we would move to a 3-5-2, I think. And the way we would do that is Juan, like you said, had that full right flank. Kamal Miller would move into left center back. Center back was Schlegel. And then right center back was Antonio Carlos. And then the five in the midfield just was a jumble of whoever was around there. So Yuri Rosell, Junior Urso, and then Nani given that free roll, like you said, and then Benji on the far left touchline, which he did not leave all game, only to cut inside and go towards goal. Other than that, he was stuck to the touchline, and that was clear to see from kickoff. And then obviously Juan on the right, and then up top was kind of like a Pereira and Dom duo, where Pereira was on the far or the more right side, I think, and Dom was on the left side. And Dom really played a pressing forward, to say, but more deeper. Like, he didn't press high. We sat deeper, in my opinion. And then when they kind of crossed that line of engagement, Dwyer was then, you know, working hard to get the ball. And I wanted to talk about Dwyer. Like, what did you think about his performance?
I think Dwyer's effort was top notch. I think the entire team worked hard. Dwyer, for me, he looked hungry. He looked keen. Of course, he has limitations. Again, the same limitations that we've always spoken about, particularly in a system with one out and out striker. He didn't win much against the defenders, but he tried. I mean, he was a pain in the backside. He did get one opportunity to score where I think he mistimed his jump a little bit, maybe a half second or a second or so. But I thought he did okay. I mean, he put in a shift. I mean, I don't think you could really criticize his performance as such, because he didn't do much wrong. I think there was certain limitations with the system, and perhaps everyone's kind of still getting onto the same page. I think he did as good as you could expect for a preseason game this early.
Now, one thing I really liked about the system was our two central midfielders, Junior Urso and Yuri Rosell. They were fantastic, in my opinion. Urso, first of all, there's a reason his nickname's the Bear. The dude is massive. That dude is gigantic. I didn't realize how big he was. Like, him and DK next to each other, they look the same. I mean, we all like to talk about DK's physicality. I mean, Junior Urso, same thing. Urso is massive. If you weren't at the game, that's a very good thing. Yuri excelled in this system, in my opinion. I think Daniel agrees with that, because it was possession-based, I would say, that when we got the ball back, Yuri was able to sit and spray balls around, which is what he's used to with coming through the Barcelona La Masia system. He was comfortable, to say the least. I really liked how that duo worked together, and I think I would like to see them start come the 29th against RSL. How'd you like that pairing in central midfield?
That would be my choice from day one. I wouldn't even experiment with that now. I'd say, look, you two guys have got the roles, and off you go. Rosell, to me, he looked stronger yesterday. I don't know what I don't know enough about the preseason that the players have had, but I understand they've been run pretty hard, and they were taken to Mexico, which I thought was a terrific idea. You know, probably got to enjoy a bit of a different climate and some privacy, you know, and they got triple sessions, you know, without the watchful eye of the media and the fans and such. I think it probably benefited the players, because I think they can focus on what they got to do. Oscar Pereira obviously needs them to be tuned in and working on his system. So you could see the benefits of a lot of that. And Yuri he just looked stronger to me. I don't know how to describe it, but he even looked bigger. I don't know if it's just the way he maybe had some confidence in himself in the way he was playing. Maybe he looked a little bit more aggressive. And again, with the spraying of the ball, I can't think of a time he actually gave the ball away. And he's a good foil for somebody like Urso, who was moving around himself, getting forward in a supportive role, but getting back to cover for the fullbacks. And They could do a lot of good work together, and I feel that's probably our strongest, you know, central midfield if we're going to go with the 4-2-3-1, which I think is expected.
Yeah, and I mean, we all expected this, or at least I expected this, because when I talked to Dustin, he said he likes those two midfielders to Dustin from Dallas Soccer Show about Pareja. He said Pareja likes to have those two midfielders sit and let the four attackers, or the five attackers if you count Juan now, do the dirty work up top. And those two together are perfect, I think, for those roles. Yuri Rosell, he can move the ball around. Urso, in tight spaces, perfect yesterday. Or near perfect, I shouldn't say perfect, but, you know, tight spaces, he kept the ball well, he turned when he needed to, he did flicks when he needed to, was very good, played horizontally. He was left, he was right, he was left again, and he did really well in that aspect. And I don't want to hype him up too much because it is the first game and it is preseason. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, at the end of the day, this is looking at it tactically, and I think that can work really well. And that gives Nani the ability to have that free role to be anywhere he wants and not have to have the same defensive responsibilities he maybe had last season under O'Connor. It allows Benji to sit on that left flank where clearly Pareja wants those left wingers to be. Mm-hmm. Because he did the same thing with Mueller when he came on. It allows Pareja, that's going to be a problem all season, isn't it? It allows Maurizio Pareja, we should just call him Maurizio now. It allows Maurizio to be that, what Arsenal fans are calling the right wing fielder, which is you're on the right mid, but you basically have a very similar free role, but it's just on the right. You don't have to be on the wing. You mm-hmm. just up and down on that right side, and it allows Juan to really bomb forward. And when you have those two sitting there, it's just that escape valve that if you lose the ball, you have two people in that key spot that stops transition. And really it's just a safety valve at the end of the day. And I think Yuri and Urso are perfect for that. Mm-hmm. While many people thought it would be Mendes and Urso. And similarly to, I don't want to hype up Urso too much, I don't want to bring Mendes down too much. And that's because I thought he did pretty poor when he came on, in my opinion. Again, first game, but a couple loose passes from Mendes. And to me, he looked really lost. Did you see any of that from Mendes as well?
To go back to Pereira, 1950s English football, you'd describe Pereira as an inside right.
Mm-hmm.
Something that came to mind. So maybe for the listeners, to understand the positional, context of what he was doing, you could say he was inside right. So if you break up the final third into five channels, you've got outside left, inside left, central, inside right, outside right. He was on the inside right channel.
Good point.
Exclusively. So for our listeners to kind of put that into a picture, that's where he was. You could describe it as a kind of a narrow 4-2-3-1, maybe in that respect. But it's a good point you make with Mendes. He didn't do much. I mean, again, it's pre-season. We can't really condemn him much. But he's not the same type of player as Rosell. He actually is probably more like her, so in the sense that the dirty work is going to be his job, and his job will be to pass the ball 5 yards to the person nearest to him when he gets it. So it's a case of probably two players playing the same type of role and the game just getting scrappy, as many friendlies tend to do. I'm not sure that's the type of sub that you would see ordinarily until maybe 10 minutes from the end of a game when you're looking to close it out. And you maybe have to dig in and battle a bit more in the midfield. I wouldn't read much into it. I think yeah, his passes were astray, but he's not that type of player. So,
Nani's passes were astray a couple of times. So again, I don't want to read too much into it. I just want to kind of say that it happened, basically.
Well, yeah, no, absolutely. I agree with what you're saying completely. And with Nani, I mean, he was the playmaker in the team, so he's going to be the guy that tries more things than the other players. You know, by virtue of percentages, he's going to misplace some of those, but, he also will connect the dots with a lot of times as well. So it was just more of a, I guess for the coach and for the fans, just an exercise to get an idea of who's going to be playing. I wouldn't be surprised if what we saw yesterday is close to the 11 that we see in the first game, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. I hold that same idea. I think that minus one player, maybe he sees something in preseason and says, I want to switch that out. But it looked pretty certain to me that this was our starting 11 against RSL on the 29th. Because
Nani is correct.
And I'm almost positive that role will be given to Pereira to be that free creative player. And then I don't know who's going to be on that inside right. Maybe a new signing. Maybe they give it to Mueller. What do you think they do with that?
I think Chris Mueller is the likely one to come in. He actually showed on the left-hand side yesterday. I think he was a little bit more tactically able than Michel on that left side. We had more of an impact on the left once he came in. You know, and it could be that you see Mueller going on that left side and then Michel maybe pops over to the right and maybe they stretch the play a bit more.
Maybe Robinho?
Possibly Robinho. But Robinho is kind of a player that you always expect to be right on the touchline. And I don't think you're going to see in this Pereira system, I don't think you'll ever see two players out on the touchline. I think you're always going to have one player inverted and one playing wide. And it'll be one left or on the right, or it'll be vice versa. Because if you're going to play with both out wide like that, then you're going to expose your team. You're going to be a bit maybe too expansive. That's one reason we saw Kamal Miller in there yesterday, I feel, is that, you know, as a one-on-one defender, Miller's very good. And he's the counterfoil for Iwan who pushes forward. You've got one guy that stays further back. So I think we know that we're not going to be playing this really expansive system on both sides of the pitch. It's a tough one. I don't see the club signing another player as well, just for that, you know, for that purpose. I mean, because you've still got to be able to play them through the whole season. So the chances are it's probably going to be Mueller that comes in and it'll be a similar setup to yesterday, I would think.
All right, now sticking with the attack, I want to talk about someone that we were both very impressed with late on in the game, Tesho Akindele. He looked strong with his back to goal. He looked like a man on a mission to have another good season. And he was key in one of our attacks, holding three players off of him, laying the ball off to Loera, and Loera raced down the middle of the field and created a chance for us. How important could Tesho be to our season?
I think when you look at defending as a team, we often say that defending starts from the front, and that's often a lot more than just chasing after the ball. Tesho is a player that he can hold the ball up, as you say, just takes some stress off the defenders, allows the midfield to reorganise and get into shape. Tesho should play as the beginning centre forward if you're looking to play a tight game. You know, for me, that's who I would pick. And it's not just because of height or anything like that. I mean, I know there's this prejudice that people feel exists where you always want a big man up front. I think it's important you have someone who's physically strong and they can take those defenders out and keep them busy and just allow your midfielders to breathe and your defenders to get back into shape. Again, this was a problem we had last season. You can't do that when your target man plays on the left wing, you know, or the right wing, and he's busy defending on the end of his own penalty area, as he was most of the time. Mm-hmm. So for me, he made the difference. And like I say, in a defensive sense, I know that's kind of weird when you're talking about strikers, but he just gets up there, gets the ball, and that few seconds break you get can make all the difference between the opposition getting another chance to attack you and, you know, the opposition not been able to do that. So I think it's good as long as you've got the right people behind you, which I think in a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-3-3, you're going to get players forward. I think Tesho is the best fit, and I think he showed yesterday that he can certainly play that system very well.
Right now, if I was talking about that minus one, for me, it'd be Tesho. And again, it's like you said, it's not because of Dwyer. It's because he was just so good at that position. Now, obviously, one more time, preseason. we don't know how this will translate into the real season. He showed inconsistent patches last season, and we could see that again this season. But hold-up play, definitely, in the central striker role, he was phenomenal. And I remember late on in the game last night, there was one point where we were getting a few attacks from Montreal. They were really coming at us a couple times back-to-back, and we cleared the ball. Tesha wins it, and amazing hold-up play. Passes it back, and we have the ball for a minute now, and that burns a minute off the clock, and that's a minute closer to the end of the game, and that's something we missed last season. If you look at any number of the games that we lost in the final 10 minutes, we couldn't hold on to the ball. We would clear it, sit deep. We didn't even try to win the ball. We didn't even really try to win fouls. We just sat deep. We let them come at us. And statistics tell you if they're going to keep getting opportunities, they're eventually going to score. We should have won that Portland game, but we gave them too many opportunities. And at the end of the day, they put the ball in the net. That was consistent throughout the season. When you have someone who is going to battle late in the game, even off the bench, battle late in the game to win that ball, hold it up, give your team 2 minutes in possession in the 92nd minute, that wins you ball games. And that's why I like Tesho to start.
Yeah, we weren't really tactically smart last season a lot of the time. In-game management, I thought, was pretty poor generally. And some of it comes to the players, but you know, obviously they go with the instructions they're given. I was often reminded what that point you just made about defending. It was often like when you're at school, or at least it was school in my country, you'd have the crap kids on one team and the good kids on the other. And we were a lot like the crap kids, where the ball would have to come towards you and, you know, you'd just be expected to clear it, defend it. You know, they'd get mad at you if they tried to play with it. And that's how we were last season. We, you know, as Orlando, I think I'm hoping this season we'll be a little bit more measured in our strategy, that there's a plan, you know, how do we soak up this pressure and maybe try to keep the ball, hold it, you know, create something possibly, or maybe just hold, you know, just wind the clock down. I mean, it just comes down to in-game management. And again, we saw little glimpses of it yesterday, and I think that, you know, it's promising. We have to see how it translates into the season, but so far so good.
Yeah, and the last little bit I want to talk about in the attacking sense of the game is Loera. Whoever wasn't at the game last night, Loera looked very good. He is an attacking mid. He came on for Nani or Pereira, one of them, and very fast, way faster than I thought he was. And very small as well, so physicality-wise, he's probably not there to be a starter. But one thing I noticed is as Montreal were pushing forward to get that equalizer, that left space for a player like Loera to push through, get the ball, and use his pace and counterattack. And that's something that happened late in the game, and it created a chance for us. Tesho, like I said earlier, laid it off for Loera. He kicked the ball forward, ran onto it, and, you know, nothing happened with the chance. But, again, that pushes us up the field, keeps the ball away from our net, and who knows, maybe in a later game this season, that turns into a goal. So I was impressed with Loera in his small amount of time on the field. He was an unknown quantity to me. Now I know what we have in him.
Yeah, he showed some promise, for sure, and he is tiny, isn't he? He's what, maybe 5'3", you know, which is 5'4" or so. I mean, got a good low centre of gravity, though, which, you know, is often a benefit for an attacking midfield player. I think he could show some promise. He needs to be given time to bed into the team, though. It's, you know, it could be very, he could also be very much like a, you know, like a Cam Lindley type, just thrown in the deep end and then not seen again after a few games. It's important that, you know, they don't throw him in too early, but I would keep him in and around the squad for sure. He had something a little bit different to the other midfielders, and, you know, give him some time. I think he'll do well, especially if he's training with people like Nani and Pereira, who hold those positions now. He would obviously benefit in training from being around those guys, you would think.
Now let's move to the defense. I think we've spent enough time on the offensive part of the game. and we got to start with Rodrigo Schlegel. And I wrote in my match recap yesterday on the blog, or this morning, I guess, nothing short of a revelation for Rodrigo Schlegel, his performance yesterday. A very unknown quantity out of Rossing Club, played 5-6 games for them. I don't think anything over 200 minutes in total. I mean, he looked like the experienced center back out of the two, and he looked like he wanted to make his mark. And he made his mark. He was very, very strong on the ball. I liked his passing. I liked his tempo. Every time he got the ball, he was immediately looking to get forward. He was immediately looking to move the play on. He wasn't dilly-dallying on it. He was vocal. He was the one setting up the back line, pushing everybody forward as soon as the ball got cleared. He was strong in the tackle. I think I saw him miss one or two tackles. And, you know, one of them led to a chance that hit the post, but that's going to happen sometimes, and especially at his age. He just overall looked promising. What did you think of his performance?
No, I agree. He definitely looked composed. He looked, you know, he looked very comfortable. He doesn't look like someone who's only played a few games, you know, and he's got good pedigree. I mean, you know, we have to remember that there's a lot of players that come from prestigious academies that don't ever get a first-team game. You know, like Manchester United, Liverpool, Juventus, Milan. There's players that come out of those clubs all the time that never play and then will go somewhere else. And a couple of years later, they're snapped up for big money and their career's made in a different way. You know, not saying that will happen with Schlegel because nobody knows that for sure, but he looked very solid. I was actually surprised to see him play yesterday. I thought that they would have gone with Janssen and possibly tried to forge some chemistry between the two centre backs, but you know he went with him, and fair play to him. He did well enough, I thought, to, you know, certainly be in contention for a place in the 18. Whether it'll go with him or not, we don't know. We'll know that in the next couple of weeks. But it looks you know, like he can do the basics very well. His aerial strength was good. His passing ability was good. His positioning was sound. I can't think of a time where our defense was caught really badly yesterday, you know. So it's there was chances against us, but it wasn't down to a mishap of such. It was just because they were good. Again, we have to remember that other teams can be good as well, and it doesn't always mean our players were bad. They just sometimes get beat. So I thought he looked pretty solid, and you know, good for him. I'm happy for him, to be honest.
Now, what do you think of Antonio Carlos's game?
Carlos benefited, I think, with Schlegel. Possibly the communication was there between the two, which I thought was good. Carlos was, he had Ryan on one side and Schlegel on his other side, so there was communication, was should have been fairly good. I thought he did good. I mean, he had one rash tackle, which I thought, you know, could have looked a bit risky. He needs to be careful, especially in MLS. You know, depending on how the refs feel that day and who they want to win the game, he's going to give someone an opportunity to give him a card. But I think he did okay overall. He looked a little bit nervous, I felt, at the beginning, but he was okay once he got settled in.
Yeah, my only thing with Carlos, and I pointed this out multiple times to you in the game, is when Schlegel would push everybody up, when everybody pushed up, Carlos would be just behind him, and then he would look to his left, look to his right, realize he was behind them, and quickly get in line. So it didn't look like the tactic was have Carlos stand behind them. It looked like they wanted to be a rigid line, but Carlos looked like he was a little bit slow out of that. And there was one occasion where that I specifically pointed out to you. The Montreal striker was onside specifically because of Carlos. So that was something I would keep an eye out for and something that I wasn't too happy with. But other than that, I was pretty fine with his performance. He looked solid, solid enough. You know, Schlegel was the one who caught the eye. He was the vocal one. He was the one doing all the running, and he was the sturdy one standing his ground, making tackles, passing the ball when he needed to pass it, and, you know, solid 6 out of 10, decent performance, stuff like that.
I think you've got to remember, I mean, the offside trap is incredibly difficult to master. Yeah. It's not something that comes in a couple of weeks. It's, again, the FIFA bunch on Twitter will tell you that it should be easy. It's not. It's, you've got to have almost telepathic communication between every single player, you know, for it to be pulled off. So I'm certain, and we know there was cameras at the game yesterday, I'm certain that the coach has got a copy of those games, sorry, of that game, and will be going through that with his players and showing them, you know, at this point you need to do this, at this point you need to do that. So I'm sure that type of defending is in hand, and they'll be working on that in the weeks to come and trying to fine-tune that chemistry so that it becomes less frequent.
All right, let's move to the right now. Juan was given free rein to basically be our right winger. I mean, even Montreal at one point, you and I both noticed, they were sending their left back super high to try and keep Juan back, and Juan just didn't care. Mm-hmm. Juan was still bombing forward up that right. What were your thoughts on his game?
He was good. He was very steady. I call him a steady Eddie type of player. You know, you often get the same performance out of him every game, and it's often at the very good level. So I think he's a very potent weapon in the offensive side for Orlando, and he's extremely quick. I think he did very well. It's not going to work against everybody. There's going to be ways that teams will figure out to exploit that, but I think more often than not, he'll continue that through the season. And as long as we get the other three defenders, you know, kind of on track, we'll be okay. I think he did very well.
I'm certain that once teams catch on, though, like they might, especially if they have a two-striker system, they'll send one of them and put them right where he's leaving that space. That'll stretch us. That'll be a problem, like you said. So then we'll have to bring Juan back and we'll have to find something new. And you made a good point yesterday. It's just a massive chess game. You know, you have to move the pieces around the board and see who's going to end up with the ball in the back of the net. Sometimes you get lucky, they make a mistake, and, you know, checkmate is the goal, obviously, to win the game. And I'm very confident that more times than not, Pareja will be winning that game for us. It's going to be a long, hard season, but I like what I saw, basically. That's what I want to say. I like what I saw. And now let's talk about the left side of the defense. And I wanted to do a little debate with you about Miller versus Moutinho, positives and negatives of both. So basics, Miller is stronger in the tackle. And I just think he is more likely to sit deep and not bomb forward as much. Moutinho, better in the attacking half, but defensively not as consistent as some would say Miller is. What are your thoughts on that debate? Who should start at left back?
For me right now, I would pick Miller. I think he's just, like you said, I think he's a better one-on-one defender. Physically, he has got the stature and the speed, I think, to cope for the most part. His ball handling skills are not too bad. I mean, he's not going to get forward and put crosses in. But I feel like Miller is just the better defender. And if you're going to have an out-and-out attacking fullback on one side of the field, you can't really do it on both sides anyway. We did that a lot last season and we got caught out so many times just trying to go hell for leather and trying to throw everybody up. And it's a mistake. I look at Moutinho, and aside from his injury record, which was not very good, he just does not strike me as an actual left-back. He was signed, I believe, as a centre-back from LAFC. That's where he was playing. He has the skill set for me to play probably in a back three, possibly even in midfield, as a left-sided midfielder, you know, with a full-back coming from behind him. But I would not see him as a left-back, and he last season he got caught out a lot of times. When he wasn't injured, he was caught out several other times. He was double-teamed a few times, and we often lost goals because of that. So if you're asking me, it's got to be Miller for the position, and if a specialist left back became available who's better than both, then I think that's still a move that Orlando should try to make.
I think I have to agree. Now, if something happens to Juan and he goes down, I think we just flip sides, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think we put Moutinho on at the start. We have him bomb forward. We go into a back three in the attack and keep the right back, and we just flip it. And that's the beauty of this system. We overload whichever side that we have our attacking wing back on. And for now, I think Juan impacts the offensive game more than Moutinho. Therefore, Juan starts and Moutinho gets relegated to the bench and Miller should start. I think in this system, that's how we need to play. Now, if we're going with James O'Connor's system, 4-3-3, three hardworking midfielders, both wingbacks bombing forward, Moutinho starts over Miller. And that was where our problems started last season. James O'Connor didn't know how to fix his way of playing once he lost his wingbacks who went forward. And that's where we lost games, because he wanted Cal Smith to go forward. He wanted Kamal Miller to go forward. We saw Kamal Miller trying to put in crosses last season. The dude's a massive center back. He's not going to be able to do that. And that's when you have to look at the players that you have and say, I have to work with what I've got. I can't just stay married to this system and just, you know, keep telling them to do it, and eventually they will. Because it didn't work last season, I want to see Pareja do that this season. Because eventually, Juan will go down with a small niggly injury that might take him out for a game or two in the summer months. I want to see him put Moutinho on the left. I'm going to see DeJohn or Kyle Smith on the right, or Jonathan Dean, depending on how good he is. And just bomb forward on the left. I want to see that. And then stick somebody on the right wing and just flip it 100%, and that's something that I'm going to find really interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be game to game, I would say, on those types of decisions. And, you know, again, I still feel like a left back would be a decent acquisition for the club, just to solve that riddle once and for all. You get someone that can play both types of roles and be consistent, because the last thing you really want to change through the season, if you can avoid it, is your defence. I think Pedro is a lock for the goalkeeping slot already, unless he makes the balls up a bit in pre-season. Your defenders, I mean, you want to try and keep that back four or five together as much as possible. So if you find a left back that can come in and play both the roles suitably, then I think that's got to be your play. But if not, Kamal Miller would be my choice. And Moutinho, I'm not saying you give up on Moutinho, it's just that he needs time to, you know, to figure out his fitness, and also to maybe improve his skill set. Maybe needs to bulk up a little bit more. Needs to work on positioning. And he can maybe adapt to play a more defensive role if he's asked to do it. But as it stands right now, he's not the player for me that would be able to do that.
Right. Now let's talk about Pedro. And let's just talk about one thing, really. And that is his communication. Something you pointed out to me is that he was really communicating this in this game. What did you see from that side of his game?
It wasn't just verbal with him. It was just the simple things like hand gestures, which, you know, if you're a defender and you look at your goalkeeper, even for a second or two, and you can see his hand gestures, just ask his player to calm down and to take a breath, basically. He communicated that very well. It's something that you have to look for in a goalkeeper first and foremost. And, you know, he showed us that. He was very quick off his line. He seems fairly comfortable with the ball at his feet, but he's got a good kick on him as well, going up 50, 60 yards. You know, he looked fairly solid, looked dependable. He didn't have much to do, really, in the game yesterday. But the couple of times he was called in, he was very, very, very sharp. He was very quick. So he looked good. I mean, again, it's still early. He'll get tested more than he did yesterday, and that's when we'll get the true measure of him, like every player. But you know, from what we saw yesterday, he looked pretty sound.
Now, I will say, almost everybody's saying that was a double save. The one that you thought Pereira toe poked away?
I thought Pereira put in a tackle just as the shot went. And my instinct from where we were sat was that he got the block in there, but I could be completely wrong. We don't have the benefit of replays for the game to check. But, you know, whoever it was a great double save. Even the first one was off Pedro, then the second one may have been off whoever. If it was Pedro again, then even better. But, yeah, we have no replays to check it, unfortunately.
The nice thing is he got a cross at the end of the day. So even if he didn't technically save it, he got the first really good save, and he got across the goal in a flash and did really well in that portion of the game. But that's really where I want to leave it. Did you have anything else that you wanted to add about the game?
I thought the work rate of every player yesterday was very good. The system just looked very fluid as it didn't look as individualistic as we've been used to, where you would think, oh yeah, let's get the ball out to Nani on the left wing, or let's get the ball out to so-and-so in the middle. No, it was a case of like every player seemed to have some role defensively, and every player had some kind of role offensively, some more than others, of course, but it seemed like the players moved as a unit. You know, and I'm trying to equate it in my mind as like one big blob of, you know, liquid metal moving together in one and moving back. You know, I watched too many science fiction movies. But it was all one big fluid system of togetherness of all the players being together rather than, you know, little bits here, there doing this bit, little bits there doing that. And again, we saw it last season with midfielders not tracking back, with our wingers just staying forward. I didn't get much of that yesterday. The double save we just talked about, Pereira, our attacking midfielder, in his own box, getting a tackle in on a defensive play. I mean, it's just good to see. I mean, I think that can be the difference between having a decent team of players that finishes 10th or 11th in the conference versus them finishing maybe 5th or 6th, because they can have that ethic that they can buy into together.
Mm-hmm. Now, you saying that just made me think of something, and that is the difference in fitness levels, I thought. So this is something I pointed out in the preview, but Montreal started their training camp a week before us, and they were allowed to because they have CONCACAF Champions League, because they won the Canadian Cup or something like that. So they're in the CONCACAF Champions League, and they started a week before us. They've played 2 games against DC United and Philadelphia before us. They were in better shape than us, but not by a lot. The only time it looked like we were struggling for fitness, last 5-10 minutes of the half, and that's when they got their really good chance, and when they were pushing, that's also when we got our goal. Yes, it's off of a free kick, but our goal was off of a transition phase. Gave the ball to Nani. Now Nani, the most in-shape person on our team, maybe even on the pitch, drove forward, got taken down. He takes the free kick. Goal. We've all seen it, basically, is what I'm saying. The free kick goal. Mm-hmm. But that's the only time in the game that it looked like we were out of shape and we looked like we were on the ropes. I mean, we had players complete 90 minutes, and that's something positive to me. I think by the time the season comes around, we will be one of the most in-shape teams in the league.
Well, yeah, I mean, it comes to pushing your players as far as they can go, and they've been doing double and triple sessions, I think, for the past few weeks. You know, and that's often how you'll get that fitness in the full season, is when they've pushed their bodies past what they thought they could achieve. They'll know mentally how to do it when it matters. And, you know, I think it's a good thing. I'm not surprised that there was some tiredness yesterday, but, you know, it is what it is. It's still pre-season. We'll see the benefit of it, hopefully, through the season.
All right, and that's where we'll leave it. Thanks, Daniel.
Quickly here, Nani gets in behind. Here's Nani with a chip. It's 1-1.